the question that is asked to me most commonly in these types of situations, when somebody dies after an encounter with police, anywhere in this country, everywhere in other countries too, when it's predictable that there may be community concerns and that the parents of the decedent doesn't trust the government because the government that's caused the death, and they request a second autopsy, independent autopsy, and this is not uncommon. A third is very uncommon. That's going to happen today or tomorrow from the federal government, I understand. And the reason for it is, as Mr. Crump has indicated, is that when there isn't transparency, I was medical examiner and chief medical examiner in New York City for some 25 years as I worked there. We had a number of these encounters. And what we found in New York City was that the sooner the information goes out, the sooner the family is talked to. The family has a right to know how their loved one died. This calms community and family concerns over a cover-up or not getting told the truth. And very simple things are found on day one of the autopsy, as you know with other sudden deaths and the gunshot wounds and stab wounds, that the next day the autopsy results come out and it answers these kind of questions. How many bullet wounds? And most important, did my loved one suffer? Pain and suffering is concern. And we can answer those questions on day one on the basis of the injuries, such as when there's a damage to the brain, bullet wound to the brain, that causes immediate loss of consciousness at that point. And telling that to a family can often be very helpful at a trying time for the family. So that's why we were called. I must say, when we were called, Mr. Crumpet said they've been trying to get the FBI, the federal government involved without success at that time, and that's why they wanted me to come in. And shortly after we started the autopsy, then it was announced that they were going to do another autopsy, which is fine, because it shows the interest and the concern the federal government has in this kind of death. And you're here, all here, because many black men die of accident, of homicide, every day in this country. And rarely, and never, as far as I recall, has the President of the United States got involved. The only other time the President got involved, I remember, was Charles Manson did his thing, and you guys weren't born in those times, and he was very upset by it, but not in a civil rights way. So I think that, understanding what's happening, and one thing I want to add here, though, Mary Case is the chief medical examiner in St. Louis County, and she's a very excellent forensic pathologist, and I'm sure her work will turn out to be very, very excellent when it's released. But again, it hasn't been released yet, and the family wants to know certain simple questions that so far we've been able to answer. Sean Parcells has been instrumental in the autopsy evaluation. I don't know if you want to point out anything on the anatomy of the gunshot wounds, that that beautiful drawing.
First of all, I'm Professor Sean Parcells, and I would like to thank everyone for bringing me into this case, and we're here for the family to answer questions about what happened to Michael Brown. And I want you guys to understand that when an autopsy is done, that we look at the body in an anatomical position. This is the anatomical position. This is not how we stand, how we walk, but medically speaking, we like to describe wounds this way. And as you all know, Dr. Bodden and I concluded that he was shot at least 6 times. We've got one to the very top of the head, the apex. We've got one that entered just above the right eyebrow. We've got one that entered the top part of the right arm. We've got a graze wound, a superficial graze wound, to the middle part of the right arm. We've got a wound that entered the medial aspect of the right arm, and we've got a deep graze wound that produced a laceration to the palm of the right hand. Now these two, where the X's are, represent what Dr. Bodden and I feel are possible reentry wounds. So the wound that hit the forehead right above the right eyebrow actually came out right around the right eye and went back in, and then it exited again right here in the jawline and came out and went back into the right shoulder. That's from one bullet. Now we have to confer that with the first autopsy. This wound right here to the side of the chest is also a possible reentry wound. Now, which wound on the arm that correlates to, we're not sure. We have to correlate all of this with the first autopsy. And the other critical point that I want everyone to be very clear on is that this wound to the medial aspect of the right arm, just generally speaking, happened right about here. Okay? So what Dr. Bodden and I feel that occurred, and by the way, this red mark is showing that same wound. This is not a separate wound. This is showing the same wound in the same location in that arm, but you're looking at it from the back. And as the attorneys were saying, there was a witness statement that said that he was walking away and the gun goes off and he kind of jerks. So the question asked to us was, could that wound occurred from him walking away and then he turns around? It's consistent with that. However, understand too that while the shot could have come from the back, because if I'm standing here walking along and get shot from that direction, you see I pull my arm up, it's in that same general area. The arm is a very mobile part of your body. So it also could have occurred when he was putting his hands up. So I put my hands up and you see where that wound is at. It could have happened if he put his arms across in a defensive manner. We don't know. And we still have to look at other aspects of this investigation before we can really start piecing things together. Dr. Bodden?
Yeah, the attorneys behind me thought that there might be a question among you. We're here to see the young lady.
Are any of these wounds inconsistent with the witness accounts that Michael Brown was shot while rushing the police officers?
There could be consistent with his going forward or going backward, but they're for the front, and if he was shot going forward, he would collapse right away. It's possible. There are a number of different possibilities to that.
Can you tell how far away they were shot?
Yes, the question was how far away. Yes, we can tell certain distance. We can tell the distance from the muzzle of the gun to the body and the body's clothing. If there's the closer the weapon is to the body, the more powder residue there'll be on the body and the skin and the clothing. In this instance, there's no gunshot residues on the skin surface, so that the muzzle of the gun was at least 1 or 2 feet away, the muzzle at the time of discharge. It could have been 30 feet away, it would be the same thing. But in order to be firm about that, we also have to look at the clothing, which we haven't had the opportunity to look at because sometimes the clothing can filter out gunshot residues.
Doctor, can you say how many times he was actually shot? Because you were talking about reentry wounds.
Yeah. There are 6 bullets struck him.
Okay.
Six bullets struck, and two may have re-entered, and three bullets were recovered at the first autopsy, according to our report. There were the two head wounds and the bullet in the chest stayed in the body and were removed at the first autopsy from our examination of the body. One of the things that's going to be important for us to see is the x-rays, the old black and white x-rays that will show where the bullets were at before the autopsy was started. And that's documented in x-rays taken before an autopsy in a gunshot wound case.
And we know those exist. I'm sorry. We know those x-rays exist.
Yes. I spoke with Dr. Mary Case, and they did all the proper x-rays, photographs, and they should be available at some time, whether today or whether 3 or 4 months from now, often depends on what the prosecutor wants to do. That is, Mary Case could have told you everything I'm telling you on day one, but often in an investigation like this, it's not uncommon for prosecutors not to want information released. But I think in my experience, when that happens, it only gets the community more upset.
Do you expect access to the clothing?
Well,
no, ma'am. Only, are you a member of the media?
I'm not.
Okay. Only the media. Only the media.
Do you expect to get access to the clothing and were there any signs of any struggle on your body?
Two things. Access to the clothing. I think at some point we should. The defense should have access to the clothing. That depends largely. The clothing is now, from Dr. Case's advice, in the Los Angeles, St. Louis County Police Agency, normally, they're going to be looking at it. It's up to them when the defense, not defense, the families will have access to it. So at some time, there will be access to it and the results. As far as the other part of the question was,
Were there any signs of a struggle?
There weren't signs of a struggle. In talking about a struggle, one of the things that the attorneys have also asked for is the medical examination of the officer who was in a struggle. So signs of injury to the officer, to Michael Brown, are both needed. One thing is that there are abrasions around the right side of Mr. Brown's face, rubbing against the ground, which happened, as best we can tell, when after the gunshot wounds, he fell flat down, unprotected, and got those abrasions. Otherwise, no evidence of a struggle, and it would be important in evaluation of the case for the medical exam, the FBI, for the defense, not defense, the family, to see what happened to the officer.
Doctor,
look, you got over here for a second.
Can you tell me where the autopsy took place and how long it took?
Our autopsy that we did, the first autopsy at the county medical examiner, second one was at the Arthur Lane Funeral Home, where the body was delivered for burial, and we did that in the office. And it was about 3-4 hour autopsy, a re-autopsy.
How do your findings resemble or differ from the county autopsy results?
Well, we can't answer that until we see the county. My impression, having done this some 50 years or so, is that they're going to be very similar. I think they're available now. The autopsy records are available now. When it's going to be released is probably up to the prosecutor.
Correct.
Right here. Excuse me. Right here.
I have a question. Do you want to get that again? You said, could it be consistent with the way police said it happened and the way witnesses said it happened? Can you just talk a little bit more about how this autopsy, what this autopsy
Well, the autopsy itself, can it, is it consistent with police or witnesses? There are many different witness testimonies. Many of them seem to line up in one direction, some in another direction. Right now, till we get more information, till we get from a forensic science point of view, can't make a definite judgment. Now, the lawyers who have interviewed witnesses, we haven't interviewed, we don't interview witnesses, may be impressed with some witnesses who seem more trustworthy than others, and as the police are doing, too. This is what juries are supposed to do. Juries are supposed to look at the witnesses and tell who's telling the truth and who isn't. Well, lawyers do that all the time. And so they have more information than we have. But right now, from the science point of view, we can't determine which witness, and there are all different kinds of observations made, is most consistent with all of the forensic findings.
Gentlemen, McGreen.
Doctor, you mentioned transparency, you mentioned scientific information, and you mentioned standards. Was there any investigative reason, any scientific reason why this information could not have been released after day one?
This is a judgment based on, and this is one of the things that the family was concerned about. Even though we know when an autopsy is done, when any autopsy is done that you guys go to, 95% of the information is available right away. Stab wounds, gunshot wounds, things like microscopic slides and toxicology, which may be of value but don't determine the cause of death. Whether or not a decedent has cocaine on board might be of value to see why an incident happened, but it has nothing to do with the cause of death. So I think that my impression is that like in most medical examiner's offices, when an autopsy is completed, the medical examiner can release it immediately, or most of it, pending the prosecutor's wishes, because the prosecutor says that that's going to interfere with our investigation, then medical examiners hold up, and the families may not know for weeks and months the kind of questions we're talking about.
Two more. Go ahead.
Can you speculate on what order the wounds occurred?
I don't think we can. We cannot speculate exact order of gunshot wounds. Forensically, that's impossible. However, Dr. Bodden, I do feel because of the two gunshot wounds to the head, indicating that Mr. Brown was bending over as they were coming down, that those two shots were most likely the last two to occur to him.
That's about as far as we can go.
What about toxicology?
Toxicology results have to be done by the medical examiner at the first autopsy. They get the blood and everything out. Second autopsy, no more blood, and there's been embalming fluids, et cetera. So we have to wait for the medical examiner, and it depends how quickly they're rushed. The toxicology should be able to be done in a week or two, but oftentimes it gets on the end of the line of all the other cases that they're dealing with and may take months. But that should be available, especially with your concern and the president's concern. It should be available very soon.
Well, we got a feeling that toxicology report, like other things, will be released to you sooner than later. There was one question from a non-press person. We wanted to ask it, and then we were going to. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, he could have survived all the shit. That's good. And I should have mentioned something. All of these gunshot wounds were survivable, except for the one in the top of the head that went through the brain.
With that being said, and all of us here know what happened to Michael, why hasn't the officer Wilson been arrested? Yeah.
That you know, who gets arrested, as you know, is a political district attorney decision, and it's not a forensic science decision, for good or for bad.
Thank you.